Yeah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. More of you, Lord. Your scripture says that taste of the Lord. In other words, take a hit of Jesus. Taste of the Lord. And the Bible says, and know that He is good. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this Friday night. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a hit that the devil gives, and there's a hit that Jesus is able to give to know that He is good. Amen. You may have your seats here this Friday night. It's feeling like Friday now. Amen. Praise the Lord. It was almost feeling like Sunday morning, man. Come on. It's Friday. Amen. Praise the Lord. Worship team, you may have your seat. Good job. Hallelujah. The devil is a liar. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. That song's the truth. Jesus is still giving me more and more. 22 years later, He still has more and more to give me. Amen. That allows my life to be complete. Not incomplete, but complete in who He is and what He has to offer. Amen. Well, here this night, Pastor Felipe, amen, and his wife, amen, Sister Lily, are in Chicago just enjoying the weekend. They've been directing the home over 5 years now, amen. And that's not an easy task. That comes with a lot of turf, amen, a lot of assignments on a daily basis, amen. So they're taking a breather right now. But in that, he was supposed to be preaching tonight. So instead of the guys making a plan, my wife made a woman plan. Well, praise the Lord, amen. She caught me sleeping, amen. She caught me with the okie doke. And she told me, look at the bird, and boom. She caught me looking at the birdie, man. So she sucker punched me, amen. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Here this night, we're going to have three of the sisters are going to be sharing. And right now, the youth are going out to the backyard, amen. They're going to have an outdoor service. Amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this night. They're changing it up a little bit. Amen. How many know that the enemy just didn't keep us on a beer or a marijuana? He changed it up a little bit on us. Amen. And instead of getting better, it got worse. Did the old switcheroo on us. Amen. So here this night, they're going to be sharing 5 minutes apiece. 5 minutes apiece, amen. Pastor's going to be timing you. When you go up there, I'm going to write the time. I'll get my watch and I'm going to write it. Because obedience, the Bible says, is greater than sacrifice. And too many times we feel we can, you know, because we know the ropes, we know the angles, we can take a little bit longer. Amen. No, that's disobedience. And I'll do it next time. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. Amen. So anyhow, without wasting any more time, our first speaker is going to be, if you can, our first speaker is going to be Angela Schilling. Amen. As she makes her way forward, let's give her a good clap offering. And the subject they're all going to speak on is rare in the church today, is commitment. So guys, let's not make these girls make us look bad. Amen. Can a brother get backed up? Amen. I ain't getting taken out by a girl. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. I just want to give God a hand clap of praise again. Amen. Amen. I just want to take this time to thank my pastors. Thank God for my salvation. And I don't take this lightly. Being behind the pulpit comes with a lot. All right. So if I can have the scripture. All right. And the word of God reads, and not only this, but with joy let us exalt in our suffering and rejoice in our hardship, knowing that hardship, distress, pressure, and trouble produces patience, endurance, and endurance proven character, which is spiritual maturity, and proven character, hope, and confidence, assurance of an eternal salvation. That's Romans 5, 3, 4. Go ahead and open up in a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you, God, for this opportunity. God, I pray, Lord, that you move me to the side, God, and I also pray, God, that every heart and mind here be touched, God. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The definition of commitment is a state or quality of dedication to a cause, an activity, or a person. And spiritual commitment is a dedication to spiritual maturity. If you're taking notes tonight, my message is titled Personal Commitment to God Develops Godly Character. My first big commitment to God was giving up secular music. The devil was influencing me through frequencies and words, influencing my thoughts and my actions. It was hard to give up, but I gained room for God to move in my heart and mind. It's easy to start something, but it's a lot more challenging to be a finisher because finishing requires complete commitment. Commitment helps us to get out of our comfort zone and reach our potential zone. Commitment will cost you, but it's very much worth it. I wouldn't be up here if I didn't commit to that first change 9 years ago. Commitment is a daily choice. I'm going to give you six steps to stay committed to God. Your first one is examine your faith and your Christian walk regularly. Turn back if you find yourself drifting. Ask daily for forgiveness and the cleansing of your sins. Seek the Lord with all your heart daily in prayer. Stay in the Word, studying and learning daily. And stay in fellowship with other believers. We need to be committed to the call of God in our lives and the vision of the ministries that God has given us. Others' lives depend on it. When we shy away from commitment, we risk out on missing on all the blessings that result from a true commitment. When it's done right, commitment to God and to the church has the capacity, like nothing else, to grow you, protect you, and train you. This is a great training ground to get used, but you know, commitment has to come. It has to come. That's all. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to just close out. Father God, I just thank you, God, for this opportunity once again, God, and I pray, Lord, that this word, Father God, fell on a great soil tonight, my God, and I pray, Lord, that hearts and minds were changed. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Amen. Commitment. The women that are going to be speaking are of the leadership of the church as well. Sister Angela's been with us 9 years now, and she didn't come in perfect. Amen. But she's gotten tremendously better in her walk with the Lord, oversees the children's ministry. Amen. Which takes capacity. Amen. But nevertheless, our next speaker is, I didn't bring my paper up. Who was second? Our second speaker is going to be Michelle, amen. She's better known as Ron's wife, amen. Better known as, I'm going to leave Ron alone. He's up there in the bag. He always picks on me, man. I'm trying to get him back from behind the pulpit. So now I'm going to do that to you, Ron. You can relax, amen. Relax, man. Chill. So, here this evening, without wasting no more time, Sister Michelle's been with us many, many years, a leader, and oversees with her husband the marriage ministry on the worship team as well, as we give her a good clap offering as she makes her way.
Amen. I just want to thank Sister Marlene and Pastor Charlie for giving me this opportunity. I don't take it lightly, so I just want to say thank you. You'll have to bear with me tonight. I lost my glasses, and I can't see a thing without them, so I have to improvise. I'm going to be wearing Ron's glasses tonight. because like Pastor says, we have to make it happen. So,
Don't do it.
So this is what it is. I can't see far. I can only see up close. So if I'm looking down, that's why I apologize. So we're talking about commitment. Everybody is committed to something, correct? Right? Amen. All right. You can turn to a very familiar part of Scripture, John 3:16. We all know it. And it reads, this is the New Living Translation. Or this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. We could also say that this is how committed God was to us. This is how committed he was to saving the world, that he gave his one and only Son. The definition that I have of commitment is, commitment is what transforms the promise into reality. I'll say it again. Commitment is what transforms a promise into a reality. It is the words that speak boldly of our intentions and the actions which speak louder than words. So in other words, you need action to have commitment. Like the title of my message, and I don't know if I've said it, but the title of my message is, what are you committed to? What are you putting your actions to? Everyone, again, is committed to someone or something. I'm sure we all can say amen. I have here in my notes, you know, you can be committed to your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend. We're committed to our jobs, right? We have to punch the clock. We have to bring home a paycheck. Some of us are committed to the gym. We have to work out. We have to be healthy. Some of us are committed to the lender. Right? You pay your bills on time. You don't want bad credit. You have to pay that bill every month. As we heard in the opening scripture, Father God gave his one and only Son to die on Calvary. Why? Because he was committed. Again, he put his actions into what he was doing. In Luke 22:44, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, Scripture says that Jesus sweat drops of blood. Why? Because he knew what was about to take place. But he still handed himself over to be crucified. Why? Because he was committed to us. That was God's commitment to us. Throughout Scripture, the Word of God shows us many examples of great commitment to our Heavenly Father. In 2 Corinthians 11:24-26, Scripture tells us that the level of commitment, Scripture tells us the level of commitment that the Apostle Paul had. In verse 24, it reads, 5 different times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. In 25, it reads, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent the whole night and day adrift at sea. I have traveled on many long journeys. I have faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I have faced dangers from my own people, the Jews as well as from the Gentiles. I have faced danger in the cities and the deserts and on the seas, and I have faced danger from men who claim to be believers but are not. Apostle Paul was committed to our Heavenly Father unto death. We can also see all of the apostles' level of great commitment. In 2 Corinthians 4:8-9, Paul wrote this. He was talking about the apostles' level of commitment. This is the New Living Translation. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. To fight through all of this, they showed a great level of commitment. Peter, historically, there's evidence that tells us about the Apostle Peter. He wanted to be crucified upside down because he said that he was not worthy to be crucified as our Father. He was committed. He was committed with great passion to our Heavenly Father. What about Job? He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost everything he had, but he still remained faithful. He was committed to our Heavenly Father. I will close with this. Our Heavenly Father has given us everything. We sit here breathing only because of our Heavenly Father. We have everything that we have only because of our Heavenly Father. You know, but sometimes, myself included, sometimes we have trouble just giving 2 hours to God. Sometimes we have trouble sitting through a service. Sometimes we get antsy. We're looking at our watches and, you know, where are we going to go eat after? Or, you know, the game's on at 12, you know. And that's only 2 hours. And look at everything that God has done for us. Look at all of the commitments that the apostles, you know, did for our Heavenly Father. Lastly, I just want to say this, and this is something that shook me to my core and had me question my own commitment to my walk and to my Heavenly Father. We recently took our daughter, Kirsten, down to Missouri. She's attending a missionary training school, and she will go overseas into Colombia or Papua New Guinea. Those are the two places that she will go. And she's going to translate the gospel into their languages. You know, and I'm nervous. She's going to be going overseas, and I may not see her for 10 years once she goes, because to translate the Bible into English takes many, many years, and you have to be integrated with the tribes, integrated with the people to earn their trust, to work with them. So once she goes, she's not going to be coming home for a long time. And she did say to me, she said, "Mom, I don't want to lose my life. I don't want to die. But I will, if it means sharing the gospel with one person." You know, that is commitment. That shook me to my core. And I can only strive, you know, from here on out to have that kind of commitment. And so, you know, I'm just going to end with this. And I just want you to question yourselves. What am I committed to? The only one thing that we should be 100% wholly committed to is our Heavenly Father, because nothing here matters. Nothing. I just want to leave you with that. I'm going to close out. Lord God, I just come to you right now, Father God, and I just thank you for this time, Lord God. I just pray, Lord God, that the words that were spoke tonight, Lord God, would just go and minister, Lord God, and the way you want them to be ministered. I just thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, I think there was an anointing on them glasses. Rhonda, man, he likes me now. That was my cleanup. Ain't no anointing on them glasses. That was the anointing of Christ on your wife. Amen. Good word. Amen. We're speaking about commitment here this evening. How many were committed to the devil? Amen. First, it started on sneaking out the window on a Friday night. You know, leaving a head on your pillow, like in the movie Escape from Alcatraz, when Clint Eastwood made it look like he was there in the bed. And then before you know, you weren't coming home no more. Amen? Got committed to darkness. But here this evening, our third speaker is Jeanette Rodriguez, and she oversees a life group. Amen? A life group. And she's with committed also to the youth, amen, that are outside right now, amen. So, and to her children and her husband, it goes on and on. But let's give her a good clap offering here this beautiful Friday night, amen.
Amen. Amen. first, I just want to start off with saying that I shouldn't be here. You know, I shouldn't be alive. I shouldn't be sober. I shouldn't be here on a Friday night in my right mind and saved, you know. It's by grace alone and by all that God has done within my life. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful even just to be here and to be behind the pulpit. I mean, this is crazy. If you would have told me this years ago, I would have been like, yeah, okay. But I just want to thank my pastors for even giving me the opportunity even just to speak 5 minutes. I mean, it's an honor. It's a blessing before the Lord. And I just I want to open up in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, verse 13. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to pull out a little bit just so I can go off of that. The word of God reads, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." I'm going to say that again. "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." If we could all close our eyes and pray. Father God, I just pray, Lord God, that you move me to the side, God. I pray, Father God, that you speak, my God, to your church, God. I pray, Father God, that you use me as that vessel, Lord God. I pray, Lord God, that every heart and every ear, my God, receive tonight, my God, whatever it is that you have for them, God. I thank you, my God, for all that you do, God. Continue, my God, to move in our church, Father God. Begin to stir the passion within each and every person here, God. Begin to have your way, God, within each and every one of us. In the name of Jesus, amen. So God has called each and every one of us to respond and to commit with our whole heart, our body, our mind, to live for him and to serve him. God says that once we're a new creation, we were saved with a purpose. A purpose, not just committing to him, but responding to what he has for our life. God says that if we respond to him and walk the way that we're supposed to walk, he will honor us. He will bless our lives. But I just want to say real quick, like Pastor just said, when I was in the world, I committed every single day to the enemy. There was no limit to what I wouldn't do. There was no limit to what I would do. And it is true that once we get saved and once we go to church, all of a sudden we want to put limits on God. And we want to say, you know what, I'm just going to give God a Sunday. Okay, yeah, I'll give God a Friday. But who are we to set limits on God? And I just want to say that again. Who are we to set limits on God? Did he not rescue us? Did he not save us? So shouldn't we be doing more for him than what we did for the enemy? I mean, it's so easy to serve the enemy. It's so easy to just live our life and do whatever we want, you know? But it is hard to commit, but we have to. Who are we to set limits on God? Who are we to say, oh yeah, okay, you save me, but this is what I'll give you, Lord, and that's all I'll give you. No, the Lord says, you know what? I want you to give me more. It's time to start being committed, not just to Sunday, not just to Friday, but how about, I just want to challenge each and every person here. Have you been coming for a while? What about talking to Pastor Charlie or Sister Marlene? Hey, how can I help out around here? What can I do? Is there something that I can get involved in? You never know. You might be really good at something. We got to be committed to Christ, even that much more because we were committed to the enemy. Come on, hello. He saved us. He saved us from an eternal damnation. Are we here, church? Do we hear me? He saved us. He saved us. So shouldn't we be that much more committed to the Lord? How about taking notes or coming just a little bit earlier for prayer, not just service? Or how about coming out to the rallies and starting to evangelize? You know, you ain't got to be good at it, but what if, you know, you come out and you just look at, you know, and watch, observe, learn. We all got to start somewhere. It's time to start being used. It's time to start being committed to what God has within our life. It's time to stop putting God on the back burner and say, you know what, God, I'm just going to give you a Sunday or a Friday or, you know what, whenever I feel like it. Come on, let's tell the truth. We need to start being committed. And if that's what it takes for somebody to say that to you, I mean, to me too. We all fall short. I got them days where I'm like, man, it's so hot. I don't want to go to the rally. I'm going to pass out. You know what? No. I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to stand in some shade, and I'm going to trust God is with me, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to evangelize, because that's what I was called to do. So let's do it. You know? We got to build the kingdom of God together, and it starts here. Coming to church is good, but that's the first step. We can't stay, and we can't remain like that. We got to keep going. We got to keep going. Because before you know it, if you just become a Sunday Christian or a Friday Christian, that's religion. And the enemy will come and he'll eat you up. You got to get involved. You got to start living your life, taking the footwork, you know. We got to do it. We got to be committed. You know, if not you, then who? But God saved us. That's something to be excited for tonight, church. He saved us, and we should give him and honor him that much more. You know, God bless you guys. I'm so excited to be here, and I see the faces, and I don't know how I'm coming off, but I'm serious. We all need to be committed. We all need to do something. We all need to serve. There's people here that have been here for a long time. Ask yourself. Am I serving God to the full potential? Let's get involved. Let's serve the Lord. There's people out there that need you. God didn't save you just for yourself. God saved you to reach somebody else out there. There's somebody else that's hurting out there that needs you. Amen? We got to wake up, church. We got to wake up. This goes for me. This goes for everybody. We got to step out of our comfort zone. We got to do the Lord's will for him. He's using people like us. And if he can't use you, okay, next man. Come on, next. Who's next? But amen. I want to encourage you guys tonight. I know that God is able, man. He's able. If we just press in, he's going to bless you, man. Amen. And we can close out in a word of prayer. Father God, I just pray, God, that you begin to stir the hearts of your people, God. I pray, Lord God, that you begin to use each and every person within this church, God, to not only save your city, Father God, but to rise, to build, to help build, and to rise up more soldiers, God, to begin to win this city, God, to begin to help and do your will, Father God. I thank you, Father God, and I just pray, Lord God, that you touch every heart, God. Begin to stir every heart, begin to stir every mind, God, for your will, God, for your calling upon their life. God, help them answer and respond to the call. In the mighty name of Jesus, I just pray, Father God, for your keeping power upon each and every one of us, God. I thank you, Father God. I give you all the honor and all the glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I told Jeanette, jam them, I'll pay you $5 after service. So she goes, you got it, Pastor. $5 all you got? I said, that's all I got. She goes, I'll do it for $5. So just joking. Amen. Amen. The last speaker is my beautiful wife that's going to be speaking. Amen. As we give her a good clap offering. My wife has been committed to the Lord now, going on 20-some-odd years, committed to my life, amen? A lot of ups and downs, but somehow or another, when you're called of God, you will make those adjustments through the ups and downs, amen? That's to right. Remain committed, and to remain committed to God, we got to remain committed to one another.
That's right.
So committed to one another, yes. The Bible says, they are no longer two, but one in me. Amen?
Amen.
So just know when you speak love, you're speaking for me too. So I'll pay you $10. Amen. If you rebuke her.
Amen. Amen. How many of you are blessed tonight? Amen. Amen. I just want to thank God for my salvation and, you know, for saving me at the age of 22 years old. And I've been saved for over 20 years now. And I thank God for where he's taken me out of and where he has placed me today. I'm still a work in progress. How many know that, you know, there
God's never done with us. Amen. He's never done with us. And amen. And I just want to thank God for my pastors. Amen. For my pastor that's watching over us in heaven. And for my awesome husband. And something that's new that's taking place in our life is that my dad has moved in with us. Amen. He's now going to be living with us. And it's a blessing, amen, to have him with me every single day, you know, and just to have that quality time with him that I wasn't able to have when he was living in California. I only would see him maybe once a year. So I'm blessed to be able to have my father living with us and to take care of him, amen? Because at one time he took care of me, now it's my turn to take care of him, and as it should be, amen? So let's open up in a word of prayer. Father, I just come before you, and I thank you for this evening. I thank you for this time, Lord. I thank you for those that spoke, God, and I thank you, Lord, for your word that you have placed in my heart. God, we thank you for commitment, God. Lord, without commitment, we wouldn't be here, God, and we just thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have a quote. It says, without commitment, nothing happens. And T.D. Jakes said that. He said, without commitment, nothing happens. And the definition of commitment means the state or quality of being dedicated to a cause, an activity, or a pledge or undertaking. So let's turn right now, as they put the scripture, Ruth chapter 1, verse 8 through 17. And a lot of people know this story, amen, about Ruth and Naomi, amen. And to me, this book speaks of commitment. Let's start with verse 8. It says, then Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, we will go back with you to your people. But Naomi said, return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons? Who would become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried to them for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me. Verse 14, as this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, even if death separates you and me. Amen. Ruth not only made a choice and a commitment to Naomi, but she also made a commitment and a choice to serve God as well. Amen. It said that she said that, where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Amen. And a relationship takes a choice and commitment. This is what Ruth is showing us through this scripture. Amen. That she was showing that she was committed. And how many know that it starts with a choice? Our commitment starts with a choice. See, true commitment to others grows out of a committed heart to Christ. There's no such thing as a partial commitment. Either you are all in or you're not. Either you are committed or you're not. How many know you can't straddle the fence, right? How many know that you can't be half in and half out? See, there's a problem that we have today in society. People believe that they can change the definition if it is not convenient for them. See, people try to change it, amen? They change what commitment really is. And, you know, like I forgot who was speaking, but they were saying that, you know, we put limits. You know, we limit God, you know, and nowadays, people do not want to be committed. But I don't know about you, but when I was in the world, like they were saying, they were all in, committed all the way. But why is it when we come to Christ, we limit God? We limit God, or we try to change the definition of what commitment really is. See, people are afraid of commitment today. And if you are serving God, you shouldn't be afraid of commitment. If you are all in, you shouldn't be afraid of commitment. I know when I gave my life to God, I didn't turn back around and go back to the things of this world. I stayed going forward. Amen? And as men and women of God, we need to stay going forward. We can't continue going back to the things of this world. How many know when you go back to the things of this world, you could become 7 times worse? Amen? And I want to let you know, those of you that maybe have been backslidden, that God loves you still, that God still has a plan for your life, amen? That you can continue to go forward, amen? That you don't have to go back, amen? See, Naomi gave Ruth and Orpah a decision, gave them a choice. But Ruth made that choice, amen, to go with Naomi, amen. Because you know what? I really believe that Ruth seen the kind of woman that she was a God-fearing woman, amen, and that she wanted to follow her, amen. How many know that we don't want to follow wishy-washy people? Right? You're going to follow somebody that's all the way in. You're going to follow somebody that's all the way committed, amen. See, commitment is not wavering. Commitment doesn't waver. It's not tossed to and fro. Commitment is fully engaged. Amen. How many want to be fully engaged tonight? How many want to be fully in? How many want to be all in for Christ? Amen. I have another quote here, and it says that nothing shapes your life more than the commitments you choose to make. And Rick Warren quoted that. He said, nothing shapes your life more than the commitments you choose to make. And how many know that our ministry, Victory Outreach, that we're not here over, I think we're going to be celebrating 50 years of ministry. We're not here because our leadership was not all in, or they weren't, you know, they didn't try to change things. No, they were fully committed. And that's why we're here today. How many could say amen today? You know? The men's home, you're here, amen, because, you know, Felipe has been committed, amen. You're here because Pastor Charlie is committed, amen. You know, I'm here today because my pastor was committed, and he gave me an opportunity, amen. And each and every one of you have the same opportunity. I'm no different. Pastor Charlie's no different. See, you have the same choice to make. Just like we did, just like we do every single day. When you get up in the morning, you have a choice. Commitment is an essential part of your Christian life. Amen. There were times when the only thing that kept me going was that I made a commitment to God, and I was not going to walk away from that. Amen. I was not going to walk away from everything that God did for my life. I wasn't going to throw it all away because I was going through a feeling or an emotion, or because I was having a bad day, or because I was in the valley, or because somebody was talking about me, or because I didn't feel like it. I made a commitment to God. And nowadays, people don't take that seriously. They don't take seriously the commitment that they make to God. I have another quote here, and it says, when it comes to God's commands, the issue is not the clarity, it's the commitment. When it comes to God's commands, it's the issue is not the clarity of it, it's the commitment. And that was Woodrow Kroll that quoted that. Today, you may be sitting here, and you may be struggling right now in your commitment to God. Or you may be struggling in your commitment to the church. Or you may be struggling today, amen, to your commitment to serving others. Because how many know that the church is not the building, but it's us, the people? And how many know in ministry, we are serving others? How many can say amen? But I want to let you know, amen, today that God has such a great plan for your life, amen, that you got to get to a place where you can't just easily give up, amen, that you can't just throw the towel in, that you can't just go back to the things of this world. How many know that we need to fight for our salvation? How many could say amen tonight? Each of us wake up every day and we make a choice. You got to make a choice. You know, I was speaking, I don't know how we got into it, but with Brother Derek and Terrence were in the back, you know, ready, you know, to pray it up and before we came out here. And I was telling them, I was like, you know what, when I got saved, you know, and I started coming to church, it was just like God just started doing something in my life. But I was ready for that change in my life. I was ready. I was tired of the life that I was living. And you got to get tired of the life that you were living. Amen. You got to get tired. Amen. To not go back to those things. So each of us wake up every day, we make a choice. What's your commitment level today? What's your commitment level today? Because there's many different levels of commitment. Again, some people are all in, you know, and then there's some people, man, they make the rules up. They make the definition of what commitment truly is. People today have forgotten what commitment truly means. Commitment is, you know, it's not just an act, but I'm sorry. Commitment is an act. It's not just something that you speak. Okay? It's not something that you speak, but commitment is an act. It's an action word. And how many know that we got to be doers, not just hearers of the word. We hear the word, but we got to be those that do the word. How many can say amen? There's a lot of people that just come to church, but then they do nothing for the church. They do nothing for the community. Our commitment level needs to go to another level. How many could say amen tonight? How many are with me tonight? How many believe tonight that what I'm saying is true tonight? Because we are living in the last days, people. And we can't play games. We can't play around anymore. The devil's not playing with our lives. Christian commitment is a spiritual act of living out what you say and what you believe. And how many know in the Bible that we have so many, amen, so many great men and women that have lived out their commitment? I'm going to name a couple of them. Hannah. Hannah was barren, but she made a commitment to God. She even gave her son to God. Amen. She was committed to God. Noah. Amen. Noah obeyed God. He listened to God. Even though everybody thought he was crazy, he was committed to God. Amen. He built that ark. Amen. And people thought he was crazy, but he was committed. Apostle Paul. He was committed to God. Amen. He was like us at one time. Amen. We were lost and bound, but God opened our eyes. Amen. The scales from his eyes fell off and he became committed to God. And then our greatest example of all, Jesus Christ, amen, was committed to the very end. Why? For you and me today. He gave his life. He gave his son. God gave his son, his one and only son. And I want to let you know today that just because your circumstances change doesn't mean that your commitment should. Because how many know we're going to go through things? I lost my pastor. Did I let that detour me? Did I let that, you know, yes, it hurt me. Yes, I was going through it. I felt alone, even though I had a husband and I had a family. I was like, wow, I have no pastor anymore. I felt alone, you know? But did I let that take me back to the things of this world? Did I allow it to take me back? No. Because I was like, it wasn't because of Pastor Herb. Yes, Pastor Herb believed in me, but God. And we got to know it's because of God, amen? And we can't let down God. See, I don't want to let God down, amen? And then when I think about it, I think of my pastor and he's looking down at heaven. I don't even want to let him down to this day. Even when he was here on earth, I never wanted to let my pastor down. I always wanted to make him proud, amen? And so I stay committed. I stay committed to my marriage, to my husband. Amen. How many know that marriage is a beautiful thing, but nowadays people take it lightly, marriage. Amen. People don't know how to fight for their marriage. How many know that we got to fight for our marriage, amen? That the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And what he wants to do is he wants to destroy families. But how many know that we got to stay committed? If we don't, like Jeanette said, who will? If we don't stand and fight, then who will? See, Ruth was under no obligation to keep her commitment to Naomi. Yet she made a decision to stay with Naomi and never deterred from that decision. She never turned back from that decision. Even when they were in the fields, when she was working from day to night, she didn't say like, oh, this is too hard. Why did I do this? Why did I follow you? I'm going to go back, amen, where it's better, where it looks better, where it feels better. No, she stayed committed because she made a decision. And how many know that God blessed Ruth for her devotion? God blessed her. And God wants to bless you tonight. He wants to bless you tonight. But you got to stay committed. He blessed her for making a decision and following it all the way through, totally and completely. She followed it all the way through. And let's turn to Ruth chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. It reads, then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are the witnesses that I have brought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Malon. I have also acquired Ruth, the Moabite, Malon's widow, as my wife in order to maintain the name of the dead and his property so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from his hometown. Today you are the witnesses. Verse 11, then the elders and all the people at the gate said, we are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the family of Israel. May you have standing in Ephrath and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring of the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah. See, God blessed her because she stayed committed. And we need to stay committed. We need to stay committed. How many know that we need to, what's the word I'm looking for? We need to stay grateful. Grateful for what God has done in our life. Sometimes it may not look all that, but God is greater and bigger than anything that we go through. How many can say amen tonight? And I don't care what you're facing here tonight. If God is for you, who can be against you? Amen? If God is for you, who can be against you? I don't know about you, but I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. Amen? And like Michelle says, nothing else matters in this world. Nothing. Because how many know that we can't take anything with us? Nothing. Can't take our car with us, our house with us. I can't even take this clothes with me. You know? But I know at the end, my goal is how I want to finish. I want to see the heavenly gates. I want to walk to the heavenly gates. I want to be able to see God and meet with God. Amen. I want to be reunited with my pastor in heaven. Amen. And that should be our end goal. Is to be in heaven, to be in heaven. Amen? How many want to be in heaven? You know? Yeah, I want to know that, you know, when my time comes, I'm going to be with my Lord. That I'm going to be with God. And I know we're not perfect here, but that's why we need to have a relationship with God. That's why we need to pray. That's why we need to, you know, read our word and fast and make good decisions and be good to others. Amen? It all falls to, and be committed. Because again, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Amen? So I want to encourage you here tonight. If I could do it, you can do it. Amen? And so many other people, not just even the Bible, the people in the Bible, there's so many people, great men and women of God that have gone before us, amen? And they're paving the way for us and they're telling us and showing us that if they can do it, we can do it. Amen? But we limit God. We put the conditions. But it's time, church, that we need to take the conditions off. We need to take the limits off. How many can say amen tonight? I don't want to be looked at as a wishy-washy Christian. I want people to look at me and say, wow, that sister is committed. Wow, that sister, man, she goes all the way. You know, she's not half-hearted. I want people to be able to see that. Why? Because I want to be an example. Not because I want to be looked at like great or anything like that. No, I want people to be able to say, wow, if Sister Marlene can do it, I can do it. Amen? If Brother Danielle can do it, you can do it. Amen? If Pastor Charlie can do it, you can do it. But you got to take those limits off. And you got to make a decision today that you're going to be committed. That you're going to be committed all the way. Amen? So I'm going to have Pastor Charlie come up here tonight. He's going to close it out. So I pray that you receive something here tonight. Amen? From every speaker here tonight.
Amen. Amen. Our end goal should be heaven. My wife was finishing off with that. There's a scripture that says we're all going to get there. At least we're all going to be in that line. Amen. That line to the pearly gates. And there's going to be a long line, real long one. I mean, even the dead are going to be in that line. So the Bible says they're going to be first in line. It's going to be a long line of people. And you ain't going to be able to walk with your husband or your wife or your children. It's going to be a single line that's going to allow you not to blame it on your husband or your wife. It's going to be a single line where you can't blame it on your children. A single line where you can't blame it on your pastor. Amen. If you look back, and I'm way back in the line somewhere, and you go, see, my pastor, I'm going to look the other way like. It's going to be a single line. And when you finally gets to you're the next one, there's going to be a lot of people rejoicing in the line. There's going to be some nervous people in that line. There's going to be some evildoers in that line. They can't wait to go to hell. Long line. When you get there, the Bible says, Jesus is going to tell you either one of two things. He's either going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you. He's not going to say you weren't committed, you were a worker, but of iniquity, of the things of the world. You were committed, but committed to the things of the world. And he's going to say, for I never knew you. Or he's going to say, enter in. My good and faithful, you can change that and say my good and committed. Enter in, my good and faithful servant, to the joy of the Lord. See, a lot of times we have a way of judging one another. Words of my pastor says, you're going to be surprised who's in heaven and who's not in heaven. There's some that look like shoe window. I know she's going, I know he's going. Oh, you don't know everything. And then there's some that just, no way they're going to make it, are going to be the ones that are going to be in there. Because God don't look at people like you and I do by the outward appearance, but he looks into the heart. So I have a point. I have a point as my wife was speaking. And the point says this, our commitment level is up to us today. Our commitment level is up to us today. But I put it, but here at the end, your commitment level will be determined by Jesus. Your commitment level unto the Lord is a choice that we can make today. But at the end, our true commitment level will be determined by none other but Jesus. Something you need to think about. Amen? Our ministry is over 50 years in existence, over 33 countries right now, by a bunch of sharp people. No, Jesus chose a bunch of dumb and dumber people. I'll put me in that equation, like you and I, because his word says that he will use the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He's using the people like you and I that he knows got an all-out, all-in commitment that he saw us have for the devil. He said, man, if I can change that brother, if I can change that sister, I'm going to have me a true soldier, amen? A committed, no longer to darkness, but a committed man, a committed woman unto the light, unto the building of the kingdom of God. And that's why our ministry is all over the world right now with a bunch of grateful, committed soldiers that should have died and be in that line going to hell. But today, through his grace and mercy, we have the choice to be committed tonight by faith as we stand. What are you committed to? Because we're all committed. We're a committed people. But the true question is, what are you committed to? And whatever you're committed to, you'll give spirit, soul, mind, and body over to it. Amen. Father, this night we thank you for all the speakers. We thank you for the many levels of commitment, Lord. And through the many levels here this night, Lord, through the congregation, you know exactly where each and every one of us are at. Just like you're going to know at the very end where each and every one of us is truly at. And here this night on a Friday, we pray for your grace and mercy, Lord, your forgiveness upon our lives, our souls, Lord, Father God, that we can want to have more and more of you, Lord, and less of us, so that your will may be done, Lord, here on earth as it is in heaven. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. God bless each and every one of you all. We love you. If anybody wants to speak to my wife or I, we are here for you. Go in the peace of the Lord. See you this Sunday, 9 o'clock for prayer, 10 o'clock for the service. Amen. Let's be committed. Amen. God bless each and every one of y'all. Invite somebody to come to Sunday service. Amen. God bless y'all.